Welcome to episode 548 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Adeste Fideles, translated in English as O Come All Ye Faithful, is a Christmas carol originally written in Latin that has been attributed to various authors. One of the most recognizable of Christmas carols, it is traditionally the final anthem during Midnight Mass at St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. The original four verses of the hymn were extended to a total of eight, and these have been translated into many languages. The English language translation of stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6 is the work of Frederick Oakley, a translator of Latin hymns during the Oxford Movement. The Oxford Movement was a 19th century effort centered at the University of Oxford that sought a renewal of Catholic, or more specifically Roman Catholic, thought and practice within the Church of England in opposition to the Protestant tendencies of the Church. The inspiration for this carol comes from Luke 2 verses 15 to 16. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The invitation to "Come All Ye Faithful" to Bethlehem places the singer both among the shepherds who rush to see the Christ child and in the long procession of the faithful that have journeyed to Bethlehem in their hearts for over 2,000 years. As such, the song is not just a snapshot of a historical event. It is an ongoing call to worship Him who is Christ the Lord. Christmas may have passed. The celebration of Jesus' birthday may have ended. But the call to come, the call to worship, the call to be in Christ's presence is never ending. The hymn begins, "O come all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant." And that first stanza ends, "Come and behold Him, born the King of Angels." The term King of Angels is another way of saying King of Heaven, where the angels dwell. This boy, born in a manger, is no ordinary child. He is the very King of Heaven. His birth is a fulfillment of a promise made in Eden. His coming signals God's commitment to saving His people from their sins. He has come to triumph over evil. This is cause for us to be joyful. A French Catholic prelate and former Bishop of Versailles, who was inspired upon hearing the hymn, translated three additional stanzas, which are included in most traditional versions. Other versions and many alterations exist as well. This is the second stanza. "God from true God, and light from light eternal, born of a virgin, to earth he comes, only begotten Son of God, the Father." Other versions put it this way: "God of God, light of light, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb, very God, begotten, not created." It draws heavily upon the Nicene Creed. Decided upon in AD 325, the Creed explicitly affirms the Father as the one God and the Almighty, and Jesus Christ as a Son of God, as begotten of the essence of the Father, and therefore as consubstantial with the Father, meaning of the same substance as the Father. Consider this text from the Creed and note how closely it aligns with the second stanza. "We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things were made." This is the third stanza. "See how the shepherds, summoned to his cradle, leaving their flocks, draw nigh with lowly fear. We too will thither bend our joyful footsteps." Note how Christians are often called to follow, without regard for what they are leaving behind. Simon Peter and Andrew abandoned their nets in mid-cast. The departure of James and John was just as abrupt. One minute they were mending nets under their father's watchful eye, the next minute they were off to follow Jesus. Levi Matthew left the tax collection booth. Jesus seeks people who only need a nudge to enter the kingdom. Sometimes this nudge is a very direct stop, called out to individuals destroying themselves or others. Sometimes it is a powerful but subtle invitation to a life of greater meaning and service. Sometimes the nudge is a liberating, "I can get you out of here," spoken to someone trapped in physical or spiritual slavery. As with the first disciples or those shepherds in the field, clear understanding need not precede wholehearted engagement. An immediate response can mature to wisdom over the course of a life lived in God's presence and power. But this song challenges us to bend our footsteps just as those shepherds hurried to see the Christ child. And note that those shepherds went joyfully. Likewise, we are called to be joyful in our service, in our following of Christ. The fourth stanza is this: "Lo, star-led chieftains, magi Christ-adoring, offer him incense, gold, and myrrh. We to the Christ child bring our hearts oblations." An oblation is a solemn offering, sacrifice, or presentation to God, to the church, for use in God's service. We may not have incense, gold, or myrrh to bring to our Savior, but we can bring to him what he desires the most, our hearts. The fifth stanza takes a decidedly different tone, placing us not only at the manger scene as one of the humble who have come to see the Christ child, but actually in the manger. "Child for us sinners, poor and in the manger, fain we embrace thee with awe and love. Who would not love thee, loving us so dearly?" There is no comma after sinners, indicating that it is not just the child in the manger, but we who join him there in humility, awe, and love. In the sixth stanza, the third stanza in most traditional versions, the faithful join their voices with the angels from Luke 2 verse 14, singing Gloria in Excelsis Deo. The refrain then becomes a cosmic chorus uniting heaven and earth. In other stanzas, we sing of the word of the Father now in flesh appearing. Similarly, we sing of the eternal Father's everlasting brightness now veiled under flesh. These references to John 1 verse 14 affirm both the deity and humanity of Christ. This carol repeatedly invites us to come into the presence of Christ to adore him as Savior and Lord. The word adore comes from the Latin adorare, meaning to worship. We must worship God, our Creator. We must worship God, our Redeemer. We must worship God, our Savior. We must worship God, our Lord. Each one of us must present our life as an acceptable offering, or as Paul puts it in Romans 12 verse 1, as a living sacrifice. Christmas may have ended, but the call for the faithful to worship Christ the Lord is not limited to this season. We have been created to worship and for worship, and that is what we will do for all eternity. Father, thank you for Jesus, who did not hold anything back from us. May we similarly not hold anything back from him, but rather may we be counted among the faithful who come and adore him. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.